This is the Seabed Daily Text. What happens in Corinth? 1 Corinthians 1, 1 to 3. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider this. What happens in Corinth? Okay, so a lot happens in Corinth. And no, it doesn't stay in Corinth. In fact, what happened in Corinth has made it all the way to your city, your home, your email inbox or podcast feed. Welcome to this Daily Text series exploring God's Word to the ancient Corinthians and the present-day Americans, and Kenyans, and Russians, and Brazilians, and Mexicans, and Australians, and Italians, and Ukrainians, and Haitians, and your country here. Words create worlds. Words redeem worlds. And words recreate worlds. In the beginning, God spoke words and created the world. It was the satanic confusion of God's word that led to the fall of humanity. In the fullness of time, God sent his Son, the Word made flesh, to redeem the world. We think of the Apostle Paul as planting churches, making disciples, traveling, and otherwise suffering in jail for the sake of the gospel as his primary ministry. While this is true, the far greater impact of Paul's mission and ministry has to do with the way he put words together into letters to the first century churches across the land. Most all of Paul's letters were written to solve problems and restore order in the lives of men and women in these communities, who were in the process of being saved by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Paul's words worked and work in the power of the Holy Spirit to restructure and recreate the worlds in which these people lived by bringing the wisdom of the gospel to bear on their lives and relationships. We begin today with one of these letters, Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. Over the course of the next 10 weeks or so, we will become familiar with the ancient city of Corinth, its people, and the way disciples get made in confusing cultures. In some ways, the ancient Corinthian culture will feel much like our own. To get started, I want to point out Paul's foundational assumption in his work. Look for the common word here. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. The word called. Paul is called, and the people who make up the church in Corinth are called. This letter and all Paul's letters are written within this overarching framework and mindset. What does this mean for people to be called? It means a really amazing kind of different. Let me see if I can make my point with the present day analogy. Let's talk about the world of fast food. There are basically two categories, Chick-fil-A and everyone else. You know what I'm talking about. From how may I serve you to the final my pleasure. In the world of fast food, Chick-fil-A has no rival. Their food is better, but not by an order of magnitude. What makes the difference is the way their rank-and-file employees do what they do. Without a doubt, their drive-through line is twice as long as other fast food restaurants, yet it goes three times as fast. They rarely get your order wrong. They actually send employees walking around the dining area inside to wait on people. At a fast food restaurant, mind you. They don't ask you if you want ketchup. They want to know how many packets you want. As a result, my kids wouldn't consider another fast food option. Chick-fil-A operates as a called fast food chain. In the world of fast food, they are the holy ones. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth as though they were a rogue Chick-fil-A. He's not willing to let them off the hook to be just another player in a fast food nation. He is reminding them they are called to be holy, to be set apart. Not some kind of religious organization, but a group of people who are living out their lives in an amazing kind of different fashion. He knows they don't seem to get this at all, but it doesn't change the way he approaches them. He refuses to consider them as anything other than called. Paul is not willing to create a category for people in the church who are just kind of there hanging out, or who show up every now and then and throw a five in the offering plate. That's just not what the church is. As we will soon see, Paul's letter will quickly get to the business of recalling the called to their calling. It's about becoming an amazing kind of different. Not about being better than anyone else, just waking up to the beautiful life Jesus calls us into, for all it's worth, and living it to the absolute fullest. The prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the way you winged your word into the heart of the ancient city of Corinth. For the way you raised up a band of believers there and called them to become holy, to embrace the amazing kind of different life of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the way you are now winging your word into my city, my church, my home, and my heart. Enlarge my heart, Lord, and stretch my capacity for your presence. Break me from the inside out, so I might somehow contain the uncontainable gift of yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. The question: does the playful analogy here give you a richer sense of what called to be holy actually means? Rather than all the holier-than-thou images that come to mind, what if we could categorize our calling to follow Jesus in a distinctively winsome fashion? How do you resonate with the Chick-fil-A analogy? For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.